And we are back on the Green Front after a two-week hiatus because of Hurricane Sandy. The Progressive Radio Network's New York Manhattan studio staff hard hit by the storm. Also, they set up an arrangement to help another radio station that's down on Wall Street that is still being impacted because of the storm. So they did a good thing, but it knocked us off the air for 2 weeks, and a very newsworthy 2 weeks at that. Since we last spoke, of course, Hurricane Sandy, the superstorm, has hit. The impact still being felt. Of course, the election went the way we were hoping and praying it would. President Obama reelected to another term, so that does raise hope that we can turn this environmental and climate crisis around. Without him at the helm, I think there'd be very little hope. And, well, not a lot to talk about except to complain. We're going to talk about everything we can do, and we have some exciting news. In the past hour, President Obama has just held a press conference talking about a range of topics, but lo and behold, after the news conference, he was asked a couple of questions, and one of them was about climate change, and he made a long statement about it. We're going to be talking about that. We hope to have Paul Barrett. We're trying to reach him right now. He is the reporter at Bloomberg Businessweek who did the much-talked-about cover story that said it's global warming stupid, talking about Mayor Michael Bloomberg's endorsement of President Obama. Some people think that did help Obama win. It was an election that was a little bit too close for comfort, so any help that might have provided, most welcome. He probably is monitoring the president's comments and is busy with that, but we hope to get him on in this segment. I'm very pleased to join me. Welcome back to the Green Front, my co-host, D.R. Tucker. Hey, D.R.
Yes, how are you doing?
Well, I'm very excited. I don't know if you've seen the transcripts, but we finally got some real meat, some real comments from the president on not only, you know, Sandy and the connection to climate change, which he definitely made that link, but also what he plans to do about it. I do think we have Paul Barrett on the line now. Very thrilled to welcome him to the Green Front. Hey, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon.
Thanks for being with us. A busy hour. I'm sure you heard about the exciting news that President Obama, first of all, acknowledged you and your great work in reporting on Mayor Bloomberg's endorsement of Obama, and with that fabulous cover story, it's global warming stupid, that people are still talking about. That was such a powerful, powerful statement at just the right moment. So thank you so much for doing that, first
of all.
Well,
we're just trying to do our job.
Well, you're doing a great job of covering the news of the day and making that connection with something that Mayor Bloomberg did, again, in good timing, and now President Obama's doing the same, and that has to have an impact on America. He just made some comments. Let's start with what's hot off the press and just get your reaction to what Obama said so far, and we have kind of a summary in front of us if you would like us to add to it.
Okay, are you going to play something?
Yeah, we don't have the audio, but we do have the transcript. So I don't know if you were able to monitor it, but we have what he said about it. So go ahead and tell us what you think. If you weren't able to see it all,
sure,
we have it here.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the, you know, I think what we're seeing now is the first steps of the second Obama administration, which hasn't officially started, but which effectively has started. And I think the president is going to be somewhat freed up from some of the political constraints that kept him from being active on this front, both over the last 18 months in the White House and then quite dramatically on the campaign trail, when rather than pushing his views on global warming and on limiting you know, carbon emissions, he really competed with Mitt Romney for, you know, who was the bigger friend of oil, gas, and coal. Now, all of this is fascinating, but as a practical matter, the real question is not what President Obama will say in a press conference, but what he can accomplish as the chief executive. And that takes us back to, you know, to something that didn't change, which is the Republican control of the House. Dramatic changes as opposed to very modest changes will require legislative activity, and I think there's a lot of reason to be pessimistic about Republican leadership's willingness to cooperate or compromise with the president on these issues.
We share that concern, but I think DR and I are especially excited because you know, we've been trying to get more emphasis on educating the American public to really understand what's at stake here for all of us, to connect the dots, and only in sort of raising the collective eco-consciousness and eco-IQ, as I call it, in America, I think will we get that muscle behind the movement, that demand for greener policies and programs. And at least we have a greener president now coming back into office in the White House. So,
well,
so
yeah, although my point is, without wanting to rain on your parade dampen too much the excitement about comments today, it's not a different president. It's the same president. And it's the same president who pushed for what would have been quite significant, you know, cap and trade legislation in 2009, and actually got it passed in the House of Representatives. Now, the political dynamics have changed since then, but they've changed in a way that doesn't favor passage of legislation like that or similar legislation aiming at the same goals. Political changes have been to the detriment of that goal, because the Republican Party has become more obstructionist, not less, and particularly in light of the immediate need for there to be a big political compromise on fiscal matters, I think a very serious question that the environmental movement will need to confront is whether the president will have political capital, and if he does, will be willing to spend the political capital to come back to this issue and push it in practical terms, in addition to restarting the debate. Restarting the debate is good and necessary, but it's not the whole thing.
Agreed. Pierre?
Paul, I first of all want to thank you for your great piece, and secondly, I couldn't help noting in the aftermath of Sandy that, you know, the effects it had on New York and New Jersey, and the fact that there happened to be quite a number of Republican congressmen in New York State and New Jersey State, at least including a couple who I know voted for the Waxman-Markey bill you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's any possibility that some of those Republican congressmen, I mentioned Republican congressmen in particular for the obvious reasons, will be motivated to sort of start, you know, pushing back a bit more against the obstructionism and the denial in their party, not to mention the denial in the conservative media, the denial in, you know, fundamentalist religion and what have you? Do you think that, having witnessed up close and personal the damage that climate change can cause, they might be a bit more emboldened to sort of speak out against the people who are still running around after all these years saying it's just a hoax?
I think the short answer is yes. I think that you know, your analysis seems sound to me, and I think that Republicans from the Northeast will you know, will certainly be leaning in that direction. The fact is, though, that Republicans from the Northeast don't control their party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually one figure to focus on is someone who I think it's pretty clear sees himself even now as a potential Republican nominee for the White House in 2016, and that's New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who obviously was right at the epicenter of the storm, very dramatically, you know, embraced the president and the need to respond to the storm in a bipartisan way, and I think that made a big impression on a lot of people. At least it did in this area, I can tell you, you know, from personal experience. And you know, I think it will be quite interesting to see whether Governor Christie, who, as I say, most people assume is beginning to position himself to be the Republican nominee in 2016, how he responds to all this. Because here's a guy who you know, is going to be grappling with the fallout from the storm for not just months but for years. For as long as he's governor, this is going to be an issue for him. And I am personally quite curious to see how he plays it. If he were to make himself available as someone who would say, look, we've got to sit down now, we've got to talk about practical ways to respond to the changing environment, to the fact that the seas off my state are measurably higher, that the atmosphere is wetter, that the storms that we have to deal with in New Jersey are likely to be much more extreme in coming years. Well, that could be the kind of thing that could be, I think, could be a real game changer,
now, that's interesting.
And could shake things up.
Now, that's interesting that you mentioned that because, as you may know, last year our friend Brad Friedman reported that Chris Christie has something of a very friendly relationship with the industrialist and climate change deniers Charles and David Koch, and apparently withdrew from the original Greenhouse Gas Initiative after a conversation or two with the brothers Koch. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. Do you think he's sort of reconsidering
well, there's
that?
Well, there's the tension point. You know, the big money that may be necessary to make a politician a plausible candidate for the nomination for president, that big money will almost certainly be pointed away from action in this area, and you may see in the person of someone like Chris Christie the tension really playing out. See, I don't think the tension is really within Barack Obama. I think we know what he would do if he could get it done, because he's already tried. I mean, if it were up to him, we would have had a cap-and-trade system enacted already. The really fascinating question is whether figures like Christie, Romney before him — Romney is now basically done with politics and off the national stage, but, you know, Romney was once a relatively progressive thinker on these issues until he decided he wanted to be the Republican nominee. It was something that he then spent about 10 years trying to become, ultimately unsuccessfully, but over time gradually moved from one position to another.
Until he got amnesia on his position on climate change.
What influence will the Koch brothers
have in terms of all his flip-flops?
What influence will the Koch brothers have going forward? If it's up to them, then we're not going to do very much on this front. But are there forces within the Republican Party that would allow for, you know, some type of compromise? That's the real sort of nut-crunching question, not exactly how passionate is President Obama, in my view.
And how important do you think it was that Chris Christie appeared with the president at that moment, and also the influence of your, you know, cover story and, you know, Mayor Bloomberg's endorsement of Obama?
Well, those are three very, very different things. Let's take the humble little cover story off the table right away. I don't think that had much influence on anything. I think the mayor's endorsement was significant, and you can measure that by how much reaction there was to it and commentary there was about it. He had very loudly said before that he wasn't going to endorse either candidate, and then we went through the storm and he came back and said, well, in effect, he said, now I am going to endorse somebody, and one of the main reasons I'm going to endorse the president is because of his stand on environmental issues. So I think that was significant, for whatever my view of that is worth. And I certainly think that the drama that played out between Christie and Obama was meaningful to a lot of people in the middle of the political spectrum, who view Christie as a very sort of hard-headed, obviously very partisan, but in the end also a pragmatic guy who, when it came down to a time of emergency, really said to the world, look, I'm not thinking about the presidential election right now. I'm thinking about the results of this disaster, and the president is doing a good job stepping forward, getting us the emergency aid we need, and I'm just going to praise him for it, even though it's only days before the election. To me, that was a very memorable, compelling episode. The fascinating question is that a harbinger of things to come, or was that a one-off deal? I don't know the answer to that.
I guess we in the environment and climate movement we're just so excited to see such a mainstream, reputable business, you know, magazine like Bloomberg, you know, come out with a very strong statement. It's global warming stupid. That was my tagline. It's the environment stupid for the first 10 years of my radio shows. And, you know, that's how many of us feel. You know, hey, we're not just going off a fiscal cliff. We're going off an ecological cliff. We're not just accruing fiscal debt. We're, you know, accruing climate debt that we're passing on to our children. So for those of us who can't help but see the world through green lenses, it was a very exciting, I think, turning point, milestone. So I know you're downplaying it, but it's still being discussed in circles that I inhabit.
Well, if it makes people buy the magazine, then I'm all for it.
And I was, in my excitement to introduce you, I forgot to give you your proper title. You are an assistant managing editor and senior writer at Bloomberg Business Week, and also the author of a book on, you write on guns and politics, and also, of course, the environment and climate change. So thanks for all your great work, and I hope people do check you out after all the well-deserved attention. What do you think the chances are of getting a carbon tax even introduced are?
Well, I think it's an uphill fight for the exact reasons that we've been discussing. That the idea of raising taxes has become a theological sin in the eyes of the men who control the Republican Party, particularly in the House of Representatives. I think that as part of some larger set of compromises, it would be possible. A hurdle, though, is that these issues don't get dealt with in isolation. The debate about what to do on the environment does not take place in a separate silo from the debate over what to do over overall deficits and tax rates. These things get mixed together. Political deals are struck across issues, not one at a time in isolation. Right now, for better or for worse, what the White House and people on the Hill are going to be dealing with for the next 6 to 8 weeks is the fiscal crisis, the so-called fiscal cliff, the fact that if nothing happens, a bunch of tax breaks go away and tax rates go up, and a very extreme across-the-board spending cut goes into effect. That arrangement is something that, in fact, almost nobody wants to see happen, and yet it's going to take a big political deal of some sort to avoid it. And nothing much is going to happen on any other front until that's dealt with. And I think we won't really have a sense as to the political atmosphere in Washington in 2013 until we go through this next 5-6 week period and see how the boys in the big sandbox play with each other. I mean, if they're able to reach some type of agreement, and you see outside the White House President Obama come out with Speaker Boehner and the leaders from the Senate and announce, you know, we've bumped our heads together, we've disagreed on a lot of things, but we've come up with a compromise because we all agree that would be good for America going forward. Well, that would be a very, very positive sign that they were able to get that done, and then that might open the door to talking about issues that at this moment, imposing a carbon tax seems impossible given the Republican control of the House. But maybe if they can take some smaller steps toward that by compromising on some other things that they know they have to compromise on, it would open the door to that.
Paul, earlier this year at a conference at the American Enterprise Institute, Stephen Hayward of AEI noted that Michael Bloomberg would likely be the only person who would have the motivation and the resources to try to revive sort of moderate or centrist Republican. I know he's an independent now, he's no longer a Republican, but he would be the only person who would be properly positioned to sort of try to revive a centrist wing of the Republican Party, willing to compromise and willing to sort of represent the sort of, you know, environmental views that the Republican Party used to represent prior to the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. But do you see Bloomberg, as a result of his endorsement of Obama and as a result of his statements about the risks of climate change, do you see him beginning to build some sort of movement towards, for lack of a better term, a climate caucus in the House of Representatives to sort of back Republicans who are willing to actually be old-school, moderate, centrist Republicans on environmental and other issues instead of the sort of hard-right Republicans we see now?
It's a really good question. We've got to, of course, remind your listeners that he is my boss in a very real and practical sense, you know, literally like signs the paycheck kind of boss, so that, you know, it's a little bit awkward for me to try to presume to tell anybody what Michael Bloomberg has in mind or what he might accomplish. That said, I mean, he's done and said a lot of things that are on the public record that we can just note, I think, without any risk to my career. You know, such as donating, you know, tens of millions of dollars to, I believe it's the Sierra Club's, you know, advocacy for closing down the dirtier, older coal plants. He has made this very dramatic political endorsement. As to whether the mayor sees out in the future, when he's, you know, the former mayor and on to whatever his next chapter is, whether he sees environmentalism as being central to what I'm sure will be his continuing role in public life, I just can't answer that. I mean, it may sound strange, but I've never met the man, never talked to him, so I don't have a good feel for what his priorities are.
Well, Paul, I just want you to know that you are talking to a climate convert. DR is a Republican, used to be conservative. When he actually took time and read the IPCC report a couple of years ago that knocked him into the moderate Republican category, he actually is proud to say he voted for President Obama strictly because of what's happened around climate change. So that gives me hope.
Okay.
I know we've kept you a few minutes beyond the time you said you had available, so we really appreciate it. We could go on, and I hope you're going to go on and cover this issue heavily. It certainly needs it. We have a teachable moment in this country, and let's hope we can expand on it. And, again, we were excited because the president said that there's going to have to be an education process. He's going to be meeting in the next weeks and months with all kinds of scientists, engineers, politicians to figure out what we're going to do next in the short term to reduce carbon so we don't have a long-term problem that we pass along to our children. So hear, hear for all that. And let's hope that this is a new era. If Hurricane Sandy doesn't wake up America as well as its politicians, Lord knows what it will take. So thanks again for all your great work, Paul Barrett, at Bloomberg Business Week. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about climate change, our favorite topic. We're hoping to have someone who helped organize a conference I was at this week earlier in Sacramento. It's the Behavior, Energy, and Climate Change Conference. They've been at it for 6 years trying to figure out how do we get Americans to change their habits in terms of energy conservation, awareness about climate change, and also as if that wasn't enough going on, I spent the weekend at Greenfest in San Francisco. So lots to talk about. We'll be back right after these messages.